Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the scripture lesson which was previously read. Whenever we think of the Apostle Paul, we often think of him in light of his many great accomplishments. Paul was a skillful theologian, a powerful preacher, and a very productive missionary of the church. After all, he was called to the faith by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus. And he was then sent out by the church as a messenger of the gospel to preach to the Gentiles. Paul certainly was an important leader of the early church, and he fulfilled a great mission as he traveled across the Mediterranean world, founding congregations and teaching the faithful everywhere. But here in our text this morning, from the first chapter of Philippians, we see Paul in a much more humble and lowly situation. We see a man who's in prison, someone in the midst of confinement while he was awaiting his upcoming trial and possible execution. We see a church leader who's been dealt a setback in terms of his missionary activity. He was now grounded in his preaching ministry, and his only method of communicating with the rest of the church was now by means of written letters. But in spite of all of this, as we read in this epistle, Paul was still full of joy and hope. He knew that either in life or in death, Jesus Christ was still in control. As the apostle wrote later in this same letter, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." Either outcome would bring glory and honor to the Lord who sustained him and enabled him to do all things, even to be content in the midst of poverty and persecution. It's interesting to read how Paul begins this letter. Paul is filled with love and gratitude for these Christians. They have shared a partnership with him in the service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul mentions how he frequently prays for them and continually remembers them in his petitions to the Lord. Here we see Paul, that great missionary, that knowledgeable theologian of the church. We see him as a humble, caring man of prayer, a faithful shepherd who had deep affection for his flock, a true servant of the church who sincerely loved and fervently prayed for those placed under his pastoral care. And in our text, we read that Paul was praying for the Philippians that their love might abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, so that they could approve what was excellent and be found pure and blameless on the day of Jesus Christ. Paul desired that their love would be enhanced with knowledge and discernment, so they would know the things that mattered most for them as followers of Christ. And this is an example on the importance of having both Christian love and Christian knowledge in the life of a believer. Paul was praying that knowledge would be added to their love. Now, this passage shows us the other side of the coin when compared to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for example, to the church in Corinth. A congregation apparently lacking in love, full of quarrels and divisions, Paul greatly emphasized the importance of Christian love. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is the greatest gift of all. Without love, none of the other gifts of the Spirit would mean anything." As Paul told the Corinthians, "If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and even have faith that moves mountains, but yet have not love, I am nothing." Without love, even knowledge was unfruitful and could be misused in the church. As Paul wrote also in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Knowledge without love can foster sinful human pride, and that causes divisions in the church. But love seeks peace and unity for the good of the church. After all, Jesus said, we must love one another. Just as Jesus loved us, we are to love one another, and by this all people will know we are his disciples. But when Paul wrote to the Philippians in our text, he already knew they had the love of God in their hearts. After all, they sent gifts to him to support him while he was in prison. The Philippians were a very loving and generous group of people. They were among the first to provide Paul with financial support for his ministry, even while he was away from them fulfilling the work of the Lord in some other church in some other city. The Philippians, by their acts of generosity, demonstrated their love for the apostle on many occasions. Therefore, now in our text, Paul is praying for the Philippians that knowledge would be added to their love. Paul wanted them to grow in their knowledge of the Christian faith so they could discern what was good and useful in their relationship to Christ. He did not want them to be without the ability to know what was right and what was wrong, what was true and what was false. And later in the same epistle, Paul would warn them to watch out for those evildoers, meaning the Judaizers, those who wanted to lead them back to observing the Jewish law and the requirement of circumcision. And Paul would remind them the righteousness of God was found not in the ceremonial law, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer for the Philippians is needed for all of us here today as well. We all need to have both Christian love and Christian knowledge as fruits of our faith. First of all, as Paul taught, and as Jesus said, love is the highest and most desirable virtue of the Christian faith. Love is the motivation for our lives of service to God and service to one another. Of course, the love that Christ commands only comes as a gift from God. The love we need to show one another is that love that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures say, God is love. But that love of God was ultimately shown in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Without the sending, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, we would not have God's love in our hearts. We would not know about God's love for us as unworthy sinners. Christ reveals the love of God to us, especially in this dark and unloving world that we live in. And only through faith in Christ, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, God's love is not just some warm, fuzzy feeling. The love of God is given in Christ, and it's based on the revelation of God's truth in the gospel which cannot and must not change. The love of God in Christ is communicated to us in God's word and in God's sacraments. The love of God is first brought into our lives through holy baptism, and then in the preaching of his word, and then sustains our faith through Christ's body and blood of the Lord's Supper. Satan, of course, he wants to destroy the truth of God's love. He wants to undermine the ministry of Christ's word and sacraments. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature, these all try to get us to accept some other substitute instead, whether we look for divine love or acceptance in works righteousness or self-reliance and personal spirituality or in some other man-made religion. These things take our focus away from the gospel and rob us of the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. The true love that comes from God is received and maintained in our hearts by the knowledge of the gospel, that Christ was crucified for all of our sins and raised again on the third day for our justification. Without this knowledge of the gospel, we cannot know or have the true love of God in our hearts. Therefore, as followers of Christ, we need both Christian love and Christian knowledge as fruits of our faith. Like the Corinthians, we need love. Without love, our knowledge will only puff us up and fill us with all kinds of pride and arrogance, and that will cause problems in the church. Like the Philippians, we need knowledge added to our love to discern the truth of the gospel and to remain steadfast in the one true Christian faith, especially in the face of this world's religious confusion and spiritual temptations. This then is our prayer as well, that God would fill our hearts with his love and also grant us knowledge and discernment in the truth of his word. For love without knowledge is dangerous to our faith, and knowledge without love leads to problems in the church. May God grant that all the wisdom and knowledge that is taught and learned here in this place may be offered and received in Christian love for the building up of Christ's holy church. In the name of Jesus, amen.